Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's not every day that you run into a guy in Nashville, Tennessee that's praising the Lord for ISIS. Try to figure that one out. I said, hey, Sammy, what do you think about ISIS? And Sammy says, I praise the Lord for ISIS. So that's our icebreaker here today on Call to Action Radio. And we are live from Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which I get to come to every once in a while. It's like the epicenter of all Christian media, and there's appointments all over the place, and Southern Baptists with bad hairdos all over the place, and all kinds of crazy stuff, me being one of those Southern Baptists. But one of the really cool things about being at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention is that you get to meet all kinds of interesting people, and people that the Lord is using in many interesting ways and effective ways and powerful ways and sometimes shocking ways. And so today I'm here in the Truth Radio room, and many of you are listening to Call to Action on Truth Radio across North Carolina. And they have kind of a meeting room up here. We're at the Gaylord Opryland complex, which like has its own zip code. It's just a big, massive, crazy place. And so there was a gentleman in here earlier talking to some other folks, some friends of mine, Beth and Tim Moranville. And they're like, you got to meet Sammy. I'm like, Sammy. So is Sammy a thumb buster? Does he work for the mafia? Who's a guy named Sammy? And Sammy Tanago is from Egypt, and God has given him an incredible ministry, an incredible outreach to Muslims. Now, you guys know that we talk about Islam a lot. We talk about ISIS a lot. We talk about the role of Islam and ISIS in the American Christian's life, and not only here in America, but around the world. And so they were telling me about Sammy, and Sammy's written a book. It's not a book for you, and it's not a book for me. It's a book that's been written for Muslims to consider the claims of Jesus Christ. The name of the book is Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And Sammy Tanago joins me today on Call to Action Radio. Sammy, welcome. How are you?
It's a joy to be here with you, Steve.
Well, this is certainly that was an amazing line, and that was just a little while ago when I said, well, Sammy, what do you think about ISIS? And you were praising the Lord for ISIS. We're going to get to that. But before we get there, I want everybody to understand a little bit about your background. You were born and raised in Egypt, an attorney, and then God called you to leave all that, leave the money, leave the prestige of that into this ministry that he's called you into in reaching out to Muslims. But what happened in your life, Sammy? How were you raised? And then tell us about when God called you out of, obviously, a lucrative career being an attorney.
Well, I was raised with Muslims all my life in Egypt, my neighbors, and we play together soccer, we go to the beach, we study together, we eat together. So I came to love them, and I became born again while I was studying law in law school. And then I started practicing law as a defense lawyer in my father's legal firm. I had a conflict because most of my clients were drug dealers, and all of them were guilty. So I was helping drug dealers almost every day to get out of prison. And I had the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, taking what the world can offer. I did for 2 years, and then God convicted me and spoke to me from Hebrew 11 about Moses. And God told me Moses preferred to leave Egypt, suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Moses considered suffering for Christ is greater richer than the treasures of Egypt. Yeah. And you have to choose, Sammy, between me fulfilling your calling or what the world can give you. And I tried to witness to Muslims. I got into trouble, was attacked physically a couple of times. I was arrested one time, and it became clear to me that I had to choose. By God's grace, I came to America, and you know, you walk the desert experience, you walk by faith, and then I studied for the California bar exam after I graduated from UCI, and before I passed the bar exam, God brought my wife. She's ex-Muslim, went to prison in Egypt for her faith in Christ, and my wife told me, no, you need to pray. God brought us together not to get rich, but to share Jesus effectively with Muslims and equip Americans. So I started praying, and God told me, she is right. I want you to love me with all your mind, collect the evidence, and present Jesus in the most understandable, acceptable, attractive, convincing way to educated Muslims. And write
so,
a book.
And so you wrote the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Why did you decide to write it to Muslims as opposed to trying to train other Christians like myself how to reach Muslims?
Yeah, you know, Steve, the book, it's written to Muslims to answer their questions and to present Jesus to them. However, when the Christian reads it, he will get the point. He will understand how to present Jesus to Muslims. So it's actually written to Muslims and Christians. It will benefit both. But God told me, write it to Muslims because almost everything in the Christian bookstores is written to Christians.
Right.
And even the radio ministries, Christian radio, is always to Christians. And God told me, I want you to write that book to Muslims, to give it to Muslims as a gift. So at that time, around 1996, most of the pastors in America were not interested in ministry to Muslims, and God told me, it doesn't matter. I give you something to do. Write the book and give it to Muslims.
Do you remember who the first Muslim was that you knew personally that read the Glad News book that you've written?
I remember, I got an email from San Diego from a Muslim man named Muhammad, and he told me, I read your book, and after reading your book, I started reading the Bible, and now I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That was 1996, something like that.
And then you mentioned Calvary Chapel. Of course, Chuck Smith, who died recently, who really was the leader of the Calvary Chapel movement. I work with Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusades.
Mm.
But they really saw what God was doing.
Exactly.
Through this book.
Exactly. Even Pastor Chuck was not in his mind to reach Muslims. I mean, he has other gifts to start the churches and to teach the Bible. But when he saw that God is using the book to bring many Muslims to Christ, he gave me an office, and he started encouraging me, asking me to share in some of the senior pastors' conferences. And he said, I will help you any way I can, Sammy. And he did mention on Pastor's Perspective, his radio program, that many Muslims to Christ came to the church, actually shook his hand and told him, thank you for the ministry.
That's amazing. And so we're going to find out, friends, when we come back from this break. We're going to dig a little bit into the Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. How do you reach Muslims? How has God reached Muslims? And then we'll get Sammy to explain to us why he's praising the Lord for ISIS. This is Steve Noble, live from Nashville, Tennessee, at the National Religion Podcast. This is Action. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today, talking to a brand new friend who I'll spend all eternity getting to know better, Sammy. Sammy Tanago is here. He's the author of Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. So even though it's not written directly to you as a born-again Christian, it's a book that you should read, because when we read this book, which Sammy wrote, and God called him to this many years ago, to write this book to Muslims to be able to consider the claims of Jesus Christ himself, which we're going to talk about here in a second, which is where you need to go with any Muslim. But as you read a book like this, then you start to see, okay, this is the path. So when God places Muslims in your life, it's not just for them to be an oddity or for them to be somebody that you pay attention to visually. Mm. They're there because perhaps God would have you actually go talk to them and get to know them and love them and serve them, with the hopes that you would be able to share Christ with them. And that's what this book, Glad News, does. As you read it, written to a Muslim, and to get them to consider the claims of Christ. And it's really amazing, Sammy. Welcome back to Call to Action. It's great to have you here. A couple of different emails that Sammy has. He's got a whole stack of all these emails that people are sending that have read the book and how it's impacting their lives. I'm just going to read this one. Sammy, my Turkish friend Mehmet said that he could consider the Bible and read it after he read Glad News. It showed him that he was allowed to read the Bible from the Quran as a Muslim. It opened his eyes. He said, quote, I could not put the book down. I don't like reading English that much, but I read 200 pages in one day. I could have read more, but I looked up every Quran reference, end quote. After a few months, he got baptized and is now sharing actively to other Muslims who he works with and he's a PhD in the United States. So here's a gentleman that he wrote to you, Sammy, this gentleman wrote to you. This was Walt, who shared the book with a Muslim Turkish man named Mehmet. Mehmet read the book, met Jesus by reading the book and studying the scriptures.
Yes.
And became a follower of his, was born again.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Hallelujah. We get many emails like that, Steve. It's very exciting.
So take us a little bit through the book, and then I want to ask you about ISIS before we run out of time. But
yeah.
But what's the main purpose, what's the main path for getting a Muslim to really consider Christianity?
The first thing, you know, I want to tell you about my calling. My calling is 50% to remove the obstacles that exist in the Christian heart and mind to win Muslims to Christ, and remove the obstacles that exist in the path of Muslims to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the first obstacle in the path of Muslims, he is taught that the Bible is corrupted.
Right.
And Christians believe in three gods, and they make Jesus Son of God, they make Jesus God, so they are totally confused. So as a defense lawyer, God called me to collect the evidence and to present the biblical teaching and Jesus in the most convincing way. So the first obstacle has to be removed before the removing the rocks.
Yeah, because if you ask them to just read the scriptures,
exactly,
they're going to say, you're giving me something that's polluted and corrupted. So
or even if they took it out of politeness,
right,
they have great doubt in their heart,
right,
and mind that it can poison them. So I studied the Quran, of course, the entire Quran as a defense lawyer, and God told me, remove obstacle number one. So I found out that all the verses in the Quran spoke about the Bible, stated clearly that the Bible is the word of God and commands Muslims to read the Bible. So I put all these verses, and of course I used the prophecy evidence and the eyewitness testimony and the evidence that well known to us as Christians. And many Muslims, when they read that, those evidence, they start reading the Bible.
Right.
Because I tell them, you owe it to yourself to discover.
Yeah, excellent point.
The whole truth. So many Muslims come to Christ through the word of God. So my job was to cultivate the ground, to give the seed the most favorable context and the best chance of being accepted.
Because a lot of that bridge is already built within the Quran's pages itself.
You are right.
They revere Jesus Christ. They revere many of the fathers of the faith. They
yes.
revere the Bible with a little asterisk on it.
Yes.
Yet it's still there.
Exactly.
And so once you get somebody to that pure milk,
yes,
to the water of life, all of a sudden, now you got to see the thing that we can't manufacture or manipulate is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And so, but once they're in there and they're encountering God in His Word, encountering His Son in His Word,
yeah,
look out, because that's where God's power really shows up.
Yeah, and that's my job, is to get them to sincerely seek the truth and know that they don't know everything. And sincerely, like you said, to consider the claims of Christ. So I use all the positive teaching in Islam to build a common ground as a stepping stone to
right,
the gospel.
Right.
So like you mentioned, the uniqueness of Jesus. Jesus in the Quran is the word of God. He is born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit. He is called the Messiah. He lived a sinless life. He ascended to heaven. He's alive today. He's coming back to judge the world. Like my wife is an ex-Muslim, and she was studying to become a Muslim teacher. And when her father discovered that her father became a Christian, she told him, oh, you can't become a Christian. You believe in three gods now, and the Bible is corrupted. He told her, no, it's not. And he started answering her questions. And he told her, it's about Jesus. Do you want to know more about Jesus? She said, yes. Because we studied in the Islamic
University
that he is coming back as a just judge.
Right.
So I establish the uniqueness of Jesus. I help them to think about the implication, why he is the only one to live a sinless life, to be born of a virgin. And then I give them the reasons.
Yeah. And it's right there in that book, written to them personally.
Yes.
And guiding them, shepherding them through the obstacles and to the truth.
Yes.
And then it's between them and the Lord. And you've seen amazing results.
Amazing results.
Yeah,
and also one of the powerful things in the book, so our audience will not think that we are compromising or anything. In chapter 20, of course, throughout the book, I defeated the Islamic teaching gently by proving the biblical teaching. Right. And I also, toward the end, I showed them the vast difference between God as described in the Quran, his relationship to people, master to slave, versus the Bible, father to child.
Yes.
So I helped them to see the attractive character of God only presented to us in the Bible.
Because that does not exist in Islam.
Exactly.
That relationship does not exist. Well, we've only got about a minute left, Sammy. And I'm going to tell people gladnewsministry.com is the website, gladnewsministry.com. And the name of the book is Glad News. But you mentioned earlier, and just with 1 minute left, when I said ISIS, you said praise God for ISIS.
Yes.
What did you mean by that? Real quick.
You know, I meant, you know, even though they committed horrible crimes, but we know from the Bible that God can use any evil thing, or can use the worst thing that can happen and can bring good out of it. And we have a good example of that of Saul. Before he became the Apostle Paul, he was actually a terrorist. He was persecuting Christians, but God, it changed him. So ISIS is used by God somehow to show Muslims that Islam teaches violence, and there is so many verses about killing, and the committed follower of Islam can become a violent person and can commit horrible crimes. And it and because he claimed that they are following the steps of Muhammad.
Yep, causes them to question their religion.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what we want them to do.
Exactly.
Sammy Tanago, thank you so much for being on. The name of the book is Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Get it, read it for yourself, share it with a Muslim in your life. GladNewsMinistry.com. Sammy, God bless you. Thanks
thank
for being
you, Steve.
On.
You're thank welcome. You so
okay.
much.
Because when you read the book, you'll understand the process by which you can have a conversation with a Muslim about faith and about Christ and about the Christian faith in a way that's effective. And so that's available there. Again, that website was gladnewsministry.com. But earlier today, like I said earlier, you get a chance to meet all kinds of people and see what the Lord is doing in all the kinds of different levels. And Sammy was from Southern California, but Graham Treacle is not. He's right from North Carolina like I am in Winston-Salem. And he was telling me about something. This is a great idea, and I think it's a tool that we all need. It's called Pass the Plate, and it's really all about giving made easy, because I think most of us, don't you have a desire to help ministries? You have a desire when you hear about a situation, or maybe it's an emergency thing, or just a ministry that you find out about, or an event that you go to. Maybe it's in something you hear on the radio or see in a magazine or see on the internet, but then you got to go back, you got to find the donation page, you got to figure out how to help. And then, of course, we need to talk about overcoming the myth that, let's say you can only give $5 or $10. Well, guess what? Most ministries on the face of the planet live based on $5 and $10 small donations. And so this is an app that you can use on your phone. It's really amazing to look at all the numbers and how we use our phones these days. Everything goes online. And so you jump on your phone, and if you have an app for it especially, it really enables your ability to respond effectively and responsibly to what the Holy Spirit may be nudging you to do when it comes to supporting ministries or causes. Pass the Plate is the name of it, Giving Made Easy. It is an app. And Graham Treacle joins me today on Call to Action. Graham, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's great to have you on. And, well, just tell us real quick, just kind of the real quick explanation of what Pass the Plate is, the app, how it works, and then I want to back up a little bit and talk about where this came from in the first place.
Okay, so Pass the Plate, it's pretty simple. We put a phone app on your smartphone, and what we did is we downloaded the IRS database of 1.6 million nonprofits.
Did you get that from Hillary's email database?
You know what? My programmer found it. Those tech guys are pretty smart.
So yeah, so you drop all that in there.
Uh-huh.
So now you've got this huge database of all these not-for-profits.
Correct. And so what happens is now you just can go on the app and you can search. You just put in the name of your nonprofit, search. It'll come up with the name and address and push a button to give, and you're off to the races. It's really that easy.
And what was the – where did you see the need for this? Because obviously there's that many nonprofits out there. For us as Christians, we're obviously more concerned with the Christian-based nonprofits. But where did you see this need develop that, hey, we need to have something on a phone so people can find these when they encounter them and have an easy way to give?
Absolutely. Yeah, my brother Ross, he's a little bit younger than me. He's a millennial. He was sitting in church, and the offering plate passed him by. And he said, wow, I have a job. I have a bank account. I have money. But I don't carry cash, and I don't write checks. So that kind of started the thought process of brainstorming and figuring out that we could do it. And, you know, here we are 18 months later with an app that works. And now when I go to church, I use my app every Sunday. The offering plate passes me by, and I just push donate right then, and, wow, and it's done.
Well, and see, and that's where this can be so foreign to a lot of us. I'm 50, and millennials, that no checks. No cash.
Absolutely.
It's all, and then some of them pay for things right on their smartphone.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of us, that's just foreign territory. However, like for example, at the Noble House, all of our giving to our local church is all done online.
Right.
So it's amazing. We're in a church with a lot of millennials. It's the Summit Church with J.D. Greer back in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tons of millennials in there, and all these buckets come by, they're almost always empty.
Right.
But the church raises tens of millions of dollars, mm-hmm, and people are all doing it online.
Absolutely. And you know, I've seen just from talking in the community, in the church community, there are big initiatives to do this because there's a whole segment of church populations often that are getting missed or passed when the offering plate passes by.
And so this isn't even a matter of, like, you don't have to run around and find ministries and say, hey, we can help you with your donations. You're just making this available for people like me and people like you and people like the person listening to us right now. Mm-hmm. So when we encounter giving opportunities, we have an easy way to give.
Absolutely. So that's why we created the database, right? So chances are, you know, anyone that is listening, they can type in the name of their church, hit search, and it's going to come right up with the right address, and they could give right then and there. Like
so then
today.
How does the money move then? So I go in, I press the button, mm-hmm, and let's say I want to give. Well, let's say I want to give to this radio show because my radio show itself is a 501c3. It's tax deductible, like, uh-huh, a ministry. So they go, they look up Call to Action Today, and they press give, and let's say they want to send $10, what happens next?
It comes into our foundation, so we have a nonprofit foundation, and then we turn around and we'd send you a check in less than a week.
Wow.
So you'd have it pretty quickly.
And so what are you finding in the marketplace in terms of people that are getting past the plate and putting it on their phones? How are people using it?
Really what we're finding is a lot of folks are churchgoers, right? So that's pretty much been the market we've been in. Church folks are signing up, they're giving. We launched in the beginning of January, so we're still relatively new. But we keep completing the cycle and getting the donations out. And our goal is to over-deliver, right? So, you know, the guidelines say that we have to get the money out to the churches in 30 days or $100, whichever comes first. But we want to get it out that next week to the churches because churches – they need the funds to operate, right? I mean, it's an important thing.
I think you mentioned earlier, so do you guys like get all those thank you letters?
Oh, absolutely.
When you donate somewhere, all of a sudden they send something, they recognize, you know, a receipt or whatever, a thank you letter. Uh-huh. Does that stuff like all of a sudden come to you?
Yes, it is. And we've been posting because, you know, the first time, like I said, we've completed a couple cycles now, so we're getting those thank you letters now. And it's great. So the nonprofits are getting it. They're sending it, you know, a thank you letter to us. Thanking for the donation. And when we take, like if we took a donation for you, Steve, you'd get the name and the number of the person that made the donation.
Yeah, which is important.
Oh, yeah. So you're getting all that information, but, you know, then you send us a thank you letter. And you may even decide to send it to the donor that's on the little sheet we give you.
We're talking to Graham Treacle. He's with Pass the Plate, and it's right on the App Store. Just go to the App Store, Pass the Plate, and Giving Made Easy. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier, Graham, in the day, was this whole the opportunity with the app, the Pass the Plate app, where you can kind of track what you're doing, mm-hmm, and which made me think that, hey, over the course of 6 months or 9 months or 12 months, you can kind of, if you have the Pass the Plate app, you can kind of look and see where you've been giving, and it'd be interesting to see if there's a trend there.
Absolutely.
Since maybe the Lord has placed one particular ministry, one particular area is on your heart. That's really, so how does the whole tracking mechanism work on the app itself?
The tracking mechanism is interesting. You know, Apple has some weird rules and regulations with their apps, so we needed to do something that would take the user off the app that wasn't monetary so that we could accept donations and not have Apple take such a large piece of the right. donation. So that's where the tracking kind of came from, and so now you can track by date and by charity, and you can just look through it. It's on your cell phone, 24/7, 365, touch of a button.
Now, one of the things I mentioned that's super important and I think is surprising to a lot of people is the role of small donations.
Right.
So can you speak to that a little bit? Because I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think most of us want to give. We would like to give. There's causes and there's ministries and there's things that get on the radar screen and we're like, man, I really want to support that. But because then we have to go track it down and we don't have something, well, now we do, pass the plate if you just have an app on your phone. But what's the role of the small donation, the $5 and the $10?
Well, I think it's one of the areas where the millennials have really come to the game a little bit earlier. They realize that by working together in a community, they can really add up to something significant. So we actually have a plan called Five for Five, which is giving $5 to five nonprofits and then telling your friends and doing it for 5 months. And you know, when you give 100, 200 people giving $5 to a certain nonprofit, they add up very, very quickly. And for a donor, that's not a big check that's coming out every month. It's a lot for some people, and that's
right.
fine. But $5 really goes a long way when you compound it. It's the power of compounding.
Because that's basically crowdsourcing.
Absolutely.
Like GoFundMe and all these other startup things that you find on the internet.
Uh-huh.
A great idea, and it's people doing $5 and $10, but you get a whole crowd doing it.
It makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that one again, though, the five for five. Explain that one more time.
Well, the real way is it goes, it's five for five. So we want you to give $5 to five nonprofits for 5 months and tell five friends about it.
Wow.
And then that way it hopefully gets a lot more momentum going. And, you know, we're able to share it on Facebook. So when you make a donation to your church or your ministry, you can tweet that you made a donation. And now all your friends can go on your Facebook page or Twitter page, hit your link, and also it'll download the app, put the nonprofit's information in there, already pre-fill it, and so they can give real quickly as well.
So now you're encouraging your friends. You're giving them the opportunity
yes.
to respond to something that God put on your radar screen.
Absolutely.
And say, hey, this is something – because, listen, that's the way we live. We live in community. And oftentimes
yeah.
on Facebook, we're not always sharing the best of things.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this, you share it and go, hey, consider this. And then it's between them and the Lord at that point, whether they want to give or not. But the Pass the Plate app makes it super easy. So how well has it been working?
It's been working really well. Again, we started in January 7th is when we launched. And so we're really focusing in on our local community, working with local churches and organizations in the Winston area. But we've been traveling up in the D.C. area, starting to work with foundations. Yeah. So the feedback is phenomenal. And even here at NRB,
yeah.
I don't think I've spoken to one person that was not interested.
Yeah, it's an incredible tool. PassThePlate.org is the website. PassThePlate.org. Find it at the apps. Pass the Plate, making it easy to give to the things that God puts on your heart. This is Steve Noble with Graham Treacle. Thanks for being here, Graham.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, we'll be right back. Welcome back. National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've been outside the box for a while. So we're here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And the last bumpin' song for the show today is Van Halen. So I love the irony of all of that. It's pretty funny. Anyway, I'll have some more guests on tomorrow. And it's really cool to meet interesting people here and to see what the Lord is doing. It's really kind of like drinking water from a fire hose. There's so much out there. It's just amazing what God is doing. And it's so cool to come to a place like this and you just see it booth after booth. Like remember we talked a lot last year about Woodlawn. So Woodlawn, it's just an incredible Christian movie, true story out of Alabama. The football team and the players, the two players that went on to play, college ball and then professional football, and John and Andy Irwin. Well, I ran into John earlier downstairs and it's just great to see the Kendricks brothers are here. Of course, War Room was an enormous success. So all those people running around and seeing all the different ways that the Lord is using his people to get his word out there is just really cool and really encouraging. Well, I told you it was going to happen. And it finally happened. So if you go to the website address, c2atoday.com, you're not going to recognize it because the new website finally launched today. Super excited about that. So I just wanted to take you through that just a little bit so you know what's on there so you can take advantage of it. But the website, the whole point of the website is to kind of share with you the things that I'm encountering as I prepare for the show. So, of course, we have the podcast page, which is on there, which is really cool because you'll see there's all images and then kind of gives you a feel. Like when you look for Theology Thursday, there's one picture that shows up. So you know Theology Thursday when you see it and you can spot those easily enough. And then there's, you know, podcast after podcast after podcast on there. So you can go through the podcast, but also on the homepage, you're going to see as you scroll down that – you're going to see kind of the news stories that I'm following as I prepare for the show every day. So you've got kind of breaking news stories, which are like the secular news stories. And again, this is not Drudge. So you're not looking at every single story that's out there coming through. But these are the things that I'm looking at in order to prepare for the show. Maybe it was something I looked at yesterday or today or something I'm going to be dealing with tomorrow. So you have a breaking news section. Then you have a Christian news section. For example, ISIS just released 43 Christian hostages. Now, there was a ransom involved. Very interesting story. That's on there. I found a story. A.W. Tozer, an incredible pastor, incredible writer, something that he said would happen to the church. And sure enough, it has. And that's a 3-minute audio clip. That's from that story. Really fascinating, convicting, and very powerful. That's on there. The gal, Karen Davis, who was the clerk in Tennessee, I believe, who was fighting against the whole gay marriage thing. Well, she just beat the ACLU. It's an incredible story. That's on there. And then a famous pastor, actually it was Perry Noble, telling his parishioners, don't vote for Donald Trump. So those are the types of stories that I share in the Christian news section. And then after that, because there's so much garbage, it's like garbage 24/7 and depressing stuff and alarming stuff and concerning stuff. The next section down is called good news. And those stories are just there. They're encouraging to see people's stories of faith. And in this case, you have really three of them are pretty famous people. One about Dwight Howard, one about Tony Dungy, and then one about Jennifer Garner, who's an actress, and what's been happening with their faith. For Jennifer Garner, for example, a movie that she's been working on has really kind of brought her back to considering things of faith. And then a great story about the Risen movie, which I was talking about last week and still would encourage you to go see it. It's one of the best and most powerful Christian movies I've seen in years. But a great story called Hollywood Gets One Right. And that's on there. And then there's a section below that that's really important. These are four different areas that we continue to kind of talk about. So every time I'm talking about something that has to do with Planned Parenthood or the Planned Parenthood videos or the pro-life issue, you can click on this section. It's just stories that Steve's following. You click on that where it says learn more, and it'll take you to every podcast, every story, everything that we've done with respect to Planned Parenthood. Another one's called Gender Bender, which is not great. But that's the reality. It's got a picture, of course, of Bruce Jenner dressed as Caitlyn. But like the North Carolina story that just broke on Monday night when they passed in Charlotte, they passed the gender-neutral bathroom bill. So all those types of questions about gender and the homosexual issue, but specifically gender, because that's showing up more and more, those are all going to be on that particular page. Same thing with ISIS and Islam, and same thing with the 2016 election. So there's all these different news stories and things that you can follow yourself. I'm basically like the predator drone out there reading and studying and sourcing all this stuff. And then I share it with you on the website so you can take advantage of that. Then there's, of course, the podcast. Under the resources, there's a news feed. And the news feed is just literally a news feed from a bunch of different news websites that I look at myself. The Daily Signal, the Christian Post, the Drudge Report, the Conservative Tribune, Fox News, and it's just stories that are breaking. This happens. It changes all the time. So that's a good resource for you as well. And then the blog, where we put up blogs that I've written in the past. I've never been a consistent blogger, but that's going to change starting next week. So I'm going to have a weekly blog that will show up on the blog section. And then, of course, our partners, all the people that help make this ministry possible. Then you're going to see at the top of the navigation on the homepage, again, this is c2atoday.com. Please get over there and check it out. This is the best website I've ever had, and it's really excited just to see how God's going to use this, and we're going to keep adding more and more content and video content, all kinds of stuff. But there's a little button there that says heaven. So did you know, this is really interesting, most numbers show that about somewhere no less than 20%, it could be as high as 30% of Christian radio listeners are unchurched. And maybe that's you. maybe you check out the show because it's interesting. Maybe I drive you nuts, or there's something that you can check out, some of this Christian teaching, without having to go to a church where that's a little uncomfortable, and having to meet people and they pass the plate and whatever is a concern for you, and going to a church. Well, when you go to that little button that says heaven, you click on heaven, it opens. It's just a beautiful picture there. It says most people long for it and hope for it. Heaven is a loaded word. Most people long for it and hope for it, but will they actually experience it? Will you? You can, but only if you know the way. So there's all the information there. There's a video there. There's information there that if you want to know how you can end up when you die being in heaven, it will give you all the information that you know and to be able to make that decision. And do you think you're a decent person? I'm sure you're a decent person. I'm sure you're a good person. But do you know that being a good person doesn't actually land you in heaven when you die? Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. So that's probably really the most important page on the entire website, because I know there are going to be people there that go to this website, go to c2atoday.com, and are not what I would call, what the Bible would call, a born-again Christian. They may believe in God. They may think Jesus is awesome, but they've never really become a true born-again Christian. And all the information that that person needs, and again, it might be you, is right there. Then at the end, because of my relationship, God is so good with the Harvest Christian Fellowship and the Harvest Crusades, there's a place there where if you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to be born again and you want to follow him, that you can click on that button and they will send you they'll send you a start Bible, a Bible, a New Testament that will give you Pastor Greg Laurie's notes in there for new believers, some other new believers information, and kind of a how to start to follow Jesus. All that information is there, and those resources will be sent to you absolutely for free. So that's a super important aspect too. But the new website, please get there and check it out when you can, c2atoday.com. And I did want a couple other little things. I just want to encourage you one last time before we finish up here to really be in prayer for our nation. This is it's like the twilight zone, and it's getting more so all the time as we look at what's going on with Donald Trump. You know, one side of me is going, are you kidding me? Are we really? This is going to be the United States of America in 2016 when we put up Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump to be our two options for the next president of the United States. And part of me just wants to pull my hair out. But the other part of me, and I think by far the more Christ-like side of me, my heart just aches. My heart aches for this country. My heart aches for people that are easily led astray by bombastic rhetoric and promises and anger. Because I'll tell you what, I've struggled with my own anger for years. I'm a hot-tempered person. And we know that that man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. And you can spend just a little bit of time in the book of Proverbs and see all the bitter fruit that comes off the tree of anger. And we are taking, on the Republican side anyway, a man who embodies that anger and exalting him. And I'm not mad. I don't hate Donald Trump. One of the blog posts that I put on Call to Action's website, c2atoday.com, is called The $10 Billion Man. And I hope you'll go read that, The $10 Billion Man. And who is that? Well, it's Donald Trump. And it's a blog I wrote when I saw him speak in Iowa last May, when Frank Luntz asked him that question, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? And to watch a man worth $10 billion fumble around and ultimately completely drop that question. At first, I laughed. I thought, oh my goodness, is this really happening? What an answer. And he brings up Norman Vincent Peale. So this is a train wreck. And I kind of snickered. But by the next morning, God had dealt with me and my heart broke for this man who gains everything. But based on his own misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian, he'll gain everything that the world has to offer, but he'll lose his soul. And so that blog post is just called The $10 Billion Man, and it addresses that. And so Donald Trump's not my enemy, and based on the things that he said, I think it's pretty clear that he doesn't know Jesus in a saving way. And so we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for our elected officials, for the officials that we have now over this election. But more than that, we need to be looking out for ways that we can share the gospel. Because I guarantee you, Donald Trump, what are we doing to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ? Countries come and go, but souls last forever. So let's make sure we're making the main thing the main thing. This is Steve Noble. It's been Call to Action Radio. Been great to be with you live from Nashville. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.